Okay, Lyle's going to be bringing God's word this morning, so let's just bow our heads as we pray for him. Yes, Father God, thank you for Lyle, for his obedience in stepping up and bringing your word to us as a church this morning, God. We thank you for the word that you placed on his heart, Lord, that your spirit would just be flowing through him now as he just prepares to bring that word to us, God, that there will be a fresh anointing on him, that there will be new words that will leave his lips today rather than the ones that are written down on his tablet, Jesus, that you, through your Holy Spirit, will just bring what you want to speak this morning through Lyle, Jesus. And yeah, we just all want to just be receptive to the words, Lord. Open our ears, open our hearts, Jesus, to receive the words that Lyle speaks this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Malcolm. So this morning, you know, it was funny last week when Steve was preaching. Not that that was funny. But while I was making my notes, Steve mentioned the scripture, Ephesians 2:4-5. And I wrote it down, and I told you a story. I couldn't find my glasses. And when I went through my notes, it actually came out opticians 2:4-5. I thought, oh, the Holy Spirit's got a sense of humor. It's telling me to get my glasses sorted. They have been sorted, just to finish that story off. This morning, I want to share with you and what I feel God's laid on my heart is following on with obviously what we're talking about as a church, but I feel like it's something that we as a church need to break out into. I think we've seen some of what God has for us, but I get the real sense that God actually wants to make this more concrete in the way we do things moving forward. So it's like breaking out a new wineskin. I mean, we've all heard of the term a new wineskin, but I feel like as a church, as a people, God wants us to move into what he has for us and actually own and possess this land that he has for us. We've kind of from the beginning of the year, you can sense the Holy Spirit has been leading us very, very beautifully into this place. And from the beginning of the year, even the worship, the intimacy that we've had with God, I mean, you just have to look back a few weeks and you can see in the worship what God is doing among us. So you start to get the sense he's been drawing us carefully throughout this year. And we need to be sure that we recognize what he's trying to do, because he wants us to possess something new. Yeah. He actually wants us to go into something and actually see something new. And even disciples making disciples. I feel like I've heard this so many times growing up in church, but I really get the sense God is doing something new. And we need to be vigilant. It says if you have an ear and you can hear what the Spirit is doing, you better listen and pay attention to what the Spirit is saying to us so that we can move to it. So the scripture that comes, it's Mark 1:17. If we can put the first scripture up, there's quite a few places. But it says, where Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is the scripture that we've kind of been leading with. It's such a weird sentence. I've got to be honest. I was like meditating on it this week. It's a very weird thing to say. If I said to you, follow me, what's your first thought would be, where are you going? You wouldn't say to me, what are you going to make me? You know, it's where are you going? But Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. It's a very different, very different. There's times if you said, I'd say, follow me, and we'll go to Smith and Wesson. You know, follow me, and we'll go to the beach. Follow me, it's a destination. But what Jesus is saying is, follow me, and I'm going to make you something. I'm going to make you something. I'm not going into what the make you is. I want to focus on the follow you. Because this follow me is not what we perceive in our heads. It's not what we naturally understand with what's our flesh. He's not calling your flesh. He's saying, follow me. And I want to try and break out what follow me looks like. The other week when I was ministering, I was leading up, I was preparing for that, and I told you the story that week, and I just feel like it was a lesson for me, but it was an object lesson God gave me. And over the past 2 weeks, I've been like unpacking this thing, because I'd like God is starting to show me a bit more what he was doing there. And I came and I had prepared my whole message. I was like, I prepared probably 2-3 messages. And I was thinking, what is God, what he wants to bring? I want to hear his heart and I want to really understand what God wants to do. And I got to 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock Saturday night, like preaching Sunday morning, 12 o'clock. And Laura walked in and I said, I have no idea what God wants to do tomorrow. I have no idea. I don't even feel like I've even got close to his heart. What I put on paper doesn't feel right. And what I put on paper was good. It was good. It was scriptural. It was good. I thought so. You guys didn't find out. I thought like, wow, the Holy Spirit said like, no. And it was quite a traumatic moment for me because I felt so unprepared. I was going to bed not having a single clue what to say on Sunday morning. And it was during the night that the Holy Spirit woke me up and gave me the scripture. And it was about 3 or 4 in the morning. I woke up and there was a scripture on my mind. It was like I was reading the pages in my sleep, which God wanted to reveal. And I was like, Danny asked me to preach this week. And I'll be honest, I started to get worried again. I was like, Lord, what are you going to do? Because I do not want to go through that again. I don't want to go through that again. I'm like, I just want a nice, peaceful run in with a nice understanding of what you want me to say and what you want me to do. And we can all be happy, okay? There's Saturday, there's stuff happening, and I just want a peaceful run in. And it was like the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. And because the reality is, if we don't hear God, we're wasting our time. And if God doesn't have the space to break in, we are going through the motions. And the Holy Spirit arrested my heart and was saying, you can never be content. You can never predetermine what I want to do. You can never get into that space where you think what you have is more important than what I have. And as a people, I feel like this is the wineskin that we need to be pulled right into. We need to be pulled right into this. So how do our meetings work? And I wanted to run through and just open up on some of the way our meetings work, because we come through the meeting and we just see what happens. And as a church and as an eldership team, our heart is to flow with the Holy Spirit. We really do. We seek the Holy Spirit. We don't want to come with our agenda. Of course, there's a pencil mark around what we want to do. We know the time we want to start. We know, you know, we prepare worship. We pray. We have some things penciled in. But it's penciled. It's penciled. Because when God wants to do something, when God wants to break out, we could have all the preparations. But if God wants to break out, we've got to be prepared to move. We've got to be prepared to move as a people. So we're talking about the presence of God. And I want to show you what the presence of God looks like. Because we think in our mind that we can come sing some songs find a lovely place, and that's the presence of God. I'm telling you, there's more to it. There's more to it. And when the Spirit starts to move, and we have meetings where the Spirit moves, and somebody brings a word, and we like check it out, and you often see the elders talking, or who is ever leading talking. We're trying to see, where is this going? Are we going left? Are we going right? Is this so-and-so going to preach? What are we going to do here? How's this going to work? The Spirit starts to break out, and often the Spirit breaks out, the Spirit of revelation breaks out. So everybody starts to see and move in the Spirit. And you'll find that, like, when the Spirit breaks out, you're starting to have revelation just sitting in your seat. The Lord starts to reveal stuff, and it starts to come thick and fast. Then some people will respond to the person leading. And, I mean, there's one meeting where there's, like, 10 people coming forward. In reality, what's happening is the Spirit's breaking out, the river of God's starting to move, the Spirit of revelation's there, and what we're getting is confirmation of what God's doing. So there's not the moment there to stop and give all of those words, because really all they're doing is confirming what's already happening in the room. So that's kind of how the meeting's led. So if we had to stop, we could actually break out the flow of God. So we actually go, no, we don't want to stop there. It's a great word, thank you. And I'll go, like, thank you, or Steve, or whoever's leading the meeting, will go, thank you for that word. You're helping me confirm what God's already doing, but it's not necessarily something I need to stop the meeting for, because the Spirit's moving, you know? And there's been times where the weight of God and the presence of God comes into our meetings, and I've been here, and I'm getting confused with everybody coming through, and I'm going, I need to bring a word. And once Danny stopped me, and he was like, hang on, you're going to miss something if we go into this, because we just need to experience the weight and the presence of God. Because it's Him we want to meet. Not another word. Right now, in that moment. And so you held back and you go, okay, let's just be quiet and let's just enjoy the presence and power of God. So the Spirit of God and the presence of God is doing something and moving. And as people, we need to become discerning so we can stay in His presence. And we're going to just unpack what that kind of looks like. And I just want to say from the outset, if in our meetings, when the Spirit of God starts to move and you have a word that isn't brought, don't fall apart in that, because it still brings something to the way we lead the meeting. It might not necessarily be for the meeting at that particular moment. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a dynamic and a flow and a process that we're trying to go through. Hopefully that's helpful for you, because we love it. You see, a perfectly executed meeting isn't what we're trying to achieve. Our meetings actually are quite messy. I do wonder sometimes how our guests feel when they come in through this door, because it looks like chaos. And I actually think the Spirit of God is like that. I think the Spirit of God is like that. A perfectly orchestrated meeting isn't always what God wants. In fact, I just don't see it. A perfectly slick worship team with lights and sound and whatever, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, when we're trying to find God in something, when we're trying to find His presence in the Spirit of God, can be a distraction from what God wants. And we draw the spotlight onto ourselves, and we're trying to bring Him glory. A perfect preach that hits all the right notes and has everything perfectly lined up sometimes can't find God in that. It's quite hard. I don't know if this is making sense to you. But what we're trying to do is find the Spirit of God and the voice of God, because when He starts to speak, starts to break something open. And what happens, and I'm just going to take you into what stopped you. I look back at what God's just taken me through when I was preparing. And actually, our hearts, and I want you to examine your heart here, our hearts sometimes are locked into what our expectations are from the Spirit of God and from the presence of God. And when we hold on to the way we think it should be, we become obstructive to the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's have a look at that. Let's look at Matthew 15:6. It says, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. So there's something about the traditions of man that can get in the way of the presence and power of God. There's something of our traditions. And we can make a tradition of anything so quickly. You know, where you have a quiet time and you start to worship and you think, I need to play that exact song again and I need to have that band playing it. I need it like that. It's like a little tradition. And you try for the next few days, like, am I getting into the presence of God there? We start to create these traditions because of the way we want to see God. But traditions go deeper than that as well. And, you know, I want to go back to a scripture that I ran through a few weeks ago, John 3, verses 1 to 7. Now, before we get into this passage, just to frame it again, this is the passage with Nicodemus, where he meets with Jesus, and he goes into, they actually meet in a quiet place. It was just the two of them in secret. This is a Pharisee meeting with Jesus. And so this is tradition meeting the King of Kings. This is like the guy who studied the Bible, knew it in and out. He was a teacher among teachers, and he had an authority. So, but he recognized something in Jesus, and he comes to Jesus. It says there, verse 3, Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not in him. So first of all, we see tradition recognize Jesus. So we're seeing this man recognize who Jesus was and because of what he had been doing. So he had some insight. And Jesus replied, this is Jesus, verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can someone, this is Nicodemus, he like born again. What does that mean? Born again. First time he's heard this term. How can someone be born again when they are old, Nicodemus said. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, verily, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at what I'm saying to you. You must be born again. Then verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everybody who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will move and go where it wants to go. And we need to be prepared to go with it. Because if we are born of the Spirit, we will operate in the Spirit. If we are born of the Spirit, we'll operate in the Spirit. Think of it this way also, that scripture, which says, follow me and I will make you. For God to make us, we need to be born of the Spirit. We can't get there without the Spirit of God. And the presence of God, and I just, the presence of God, our preconceptions at what God can be, and I just want to go into what the presence of God actually manifests and what it looks like. Sometimes the presence of God manifests as a wind. It feels like the wind of the Spirit's moving. Sometimes it manifests as a river flowing. Sometimes it's a whisper that we have to hear. So our traditions and our thinking can limit what we're expecting when we move into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit, there are times in my life where I've sensed, I mean, even you look, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when did the presence of God turn up? When they were in the fire. They were in the fire. Where did the disciples, one of the most encounters they had in the presence of God, when they were in the storm in the boat, and he calmed the storm. So the presence of God can be found in every area of our lives at any given point. We need to be ready for his presence. So let's look at Romans 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Paul's, and do you know, this is one of the things that Paul was writing about. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And we need to really, really flow and move what the Holy Spirit wants to do and what he's saying. I'm just jumping here. You see, I'll just go back to our meetings, and sometimes they're messy. Sometimes it looks like we're looking where we're going to go. Even right now, I'm trying to find where the Holy Spirit wants to go among us. Even right now, we are trying to find where the Holy Spirit wants to go. Because we can't preconceive where he wants to go. You know, a word from God can cut our hearts. And sometimes where the meeting does land up being worship and preach, that is where God wants to go. But we've got to be able to recognize it in both instances. So how do we follow God in this way? How do we look at the presence of God and the power of God? Well, Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. He actually said, it is for your benefit that I leave, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So Jesus knew that for us to move and continue to abide in him, he was going to send his Holy Spirit to do that. In John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit is going to bear witness. He's going to be a helper. He's going to be the Spirit of truth. In John 16, 17, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the plan was to send the Holy Spirit to abide with us and in us. You see, the presence of God, when we come into his presence feels great. And it's like his presence is for us. He wants us to know that he's with us. But he sent the power and the Holy Spirit so that he can operate through us and in us. There is a process where he abides in us so that he can work through us. And Jesus actually said, it's for your benefit that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you. But for the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, we need to humble ourselves, humble our own intellect. We need to get out of the way so that we can hear him and that he can move in us. Do you know Jesus didn't choose Pharisees in the beginning that knew the word of God inside and out? He chose fishermen that were foolish enough. I say foolish enough to follow him and to operate him without the intellect getting in the way. And I wonder how often when the Holy Spirit wants to move, our intellect interrupts him. And our intellect gets in the way of what he wants to do. And our process gets in the way. And our order during the week gets in the way. And what I do on a Monday gets in the way. And what's more important during the week gets in the way of what he wants to do. We need to break out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to break out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us. This isn't something that's for our meetings. I kind of brought you into what happens in our meetings. But God sent his Holy Spirit for each and every one of us. He sent his Holy Spirit for each and every one of us to flow in the power of God. And we're going to, I still get the sense our intellect is owning this. I still get the sense, even while I'm preaching, I can still see this. How do we get there? How do we get there? This almost seems a mystery. This almost seems a mystery. But we need to be born of the Spirit. You know, I'll give you an example. Story time. I love story time. I haven't told this story before. The one I'm going to tell after this, I have told. But there was a time where I was in a meeting, and I was going to preach at a meeting in South Africa, and it was a youth event. I was about 18, and we organized this event at a friend's house, and we kind of teed it up. It was kind of like we got a whole bunch of unsaved people to come, not really knowing what it was about, but we were going to ambush them with the word of God. And I was praying. We were praying for this event. We were praying. And the Lord said to me, I just want you to say one thing. One thing. He said, all I want you to say is that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and asked to pray for anyone with a broken heart. Like, that's all I want you to say. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Like, I don't want you to say anything else. Which I like to talk. So that was like, give me some more words, Lord. Give me some more words. No, that's all I want you to say. So we get in this meeting. There's about 30, 40 people unsaved. They're all at this house, and we get them in a room. And we say, oh, we're just going to sing a song now with the guitar. Do you guys want to join in? You don't have to. Just like chill in the back if you don't want to. We're just going to play the guitar. And we start worshiping. So one of them starts worshiping. Now, I'm getting ready, and I'm going to say my line. A line. That's like literally all the Spirit of God has given me is a line. During worship, my mom's car, there's my mom here, gets smashed in the road. We hear this almighty crash. Somebody came around the corner. I'd parked on the side of the road, and this car hit the back of my mom's car. So the meeting, I kind of petered out and just died. Like, everybody ran outside, standing around my mom's car going, how am I going to tell my mom this? I'm actually at a Christian event, like we worshiping God and stuff, and I've got to try and explain how her car got smashed up. It's going through my head, and the Lord says, one line. I've asked you to share one line. And I almost thought, well, the enemy's overplayed his hand. He's that scared of that line that he got my mom's car smashed up. So we went back. I said, everybody, forget the car. It's just a car. I'll deal with this later. Get back in the room. We pulled all these people in. There was no presence. There was no worship team. There's like, we are just sitting there. And say, sit down. Everyone sits down and say, listen, God's told me to tell you this. And I said, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody with a broken heart, do you just want to stand so we can pray for you? And these unsaved people started to stand up. Now you can imagine us Christian people, like we're all looking at each other. Okay. So like, okay, the guy with the guitar, you better start playing. It's like, play your guitar. So he starts playing in the background. We started praying for people who had never been in church or experienced the power of God. They started weeping, falling over in the power and the presence of God, getting their lives miraculously touched in that moment. One of the guys starts manifesting and actually goes through a deliverance. And I'm bringing up deliverance. We don't have time to go in there this morning. But he actually goes through a deliverance. things started. That meeting was, that was hoppus 9, 10 o'clock. We only left at 12, 1 o'clock out of that room because people started to worship. They started to pray for each other. People were getting saved. There wasn't a big preach. There wasn't a big preach. There wasn't a big event. We didn't orchestrate it. We followed the Spirit of God. We followed the Spirit of God. We've got to catch this. We've got to catch this. There's something here. There's something here. And I'm saying, even in our community groups, how are we leading them? Are we so prepared that we actually don't know how to go into His presence or follow what He's saying? There's something that needs to break out here. And this might be foreign, this might be foreign to you. But I'm saying, just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Spirit goes, the wind blows where it goes. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but we've got to flow. Those who are born of the Spirit will move in the Spirit. The other time, and I've told the story, when I was driving to a Christian event, it was really fun. That was going to be a great night because we were just going to fellowship. It was just Christians. That was going to be fun. Worship, I had my Friday night sorted. And the Lord told me to stop while I'm driving. I can remember the junction I was getting to. And He said, I want you to go to your friend's, unsafe friend's 21st party. And I was like, that's the last thing I feel like doing. Because everybody's smashed. I know exactly what's going on there. Like, it's really not my scene anymore. It's like, I'm so past that, Lord. I'm going to be holy about it. And Lord, I'm going to where your people are, and where you want to go. And I got to that junction, and the Holy Spirit overwhelmed me. I could see my hands just at that on the steering wheel. My hands just at that. And I went to this 21st party. And I walked in the door, and I was like disappointed I was even there. I was that. And as I walked through the front door, the guy who's 21st was, now there was like 50, 60 people in the garden, like swimming pool, drinking. I walked in, and the guy who was his 21st, walks through, sees me, starts crying. He starts crying, and he says, I want to give my life back to Jesus. I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, what a body killer. Like, that just destroyed the night. Absolutely ruined that night for them. Good. And I watched as one guy just watched it, and he was on the music, and he just turned it off. He just turned the music off. And then all these 50 people walked into the room and said, what's going on? What's going on? I got 50 people standing with the guy whose party is crying, and I'm praying for him to get saved. And they're going, what are you doing? What's going on? So, like, I had to preach the gospel. Like, it's a totally unprepared, like, hey, guys, what he wants is he wants to give his life back to Jesus. And he's realized that this is all wrong, what you guys, and he wants to serve Jesus. I'm not even saying they got it. They just stared at me like, this is madness. But if you're born of the Spirit of God, you'll start to do what the Spirit's called you to do. You'll start to follow Him. He's a voice. He's a voice. When we go into our, do you know what? Even our Bibles can get in the way. How? Do you know that in the disciples at the time, they didn't have personal Bibles. They didn't have personal Bibles. The Pharisees had Bibles, but the disciples were actually kicked out of the synagogue, so they couldn't even hear the Word of God. And it was only the Old Testament at that point, because they hadn't written the New Testament yet. So they were sitting there going, we are born again. We believe in Jesus. We know that He died and rose again. What did they have? They had the Spirit of God. They relied fully on the Spirit of God. And I'm not downgrading the purpose and why God's given us the Word of God, because it's fundamentally His Word. And I'm not taking away from that. Because we stand on the Word, we believe the Word. But what I'm saying is, we've got to be able to follow the Spirit of God, because He enlightens the Word to us. Without the Spirit of God, how does the page make sense? How does the words come to life? How do I know the heart of Jesus? I don't. Because his spirit illuminates that. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I'm sending you someone who's going to teach you. He's going to teach you. So the Spirit of God can actually teach you. You don't even need anybody up here because his Spirit is in you and he fills you and he teaches you. So then you're drawing from him. And when you come here, you're like, oh my goodness, Spirit of God's told me stuff. And I remember when I was reading the Word of God and he started to eat washing of the feet. I'll never forget it. And I read that scripture and it was like the Holy Spirit was there and he just explained it to me. Like, he just explained it to me. It started to make sense. And all of you have experience like that, where you suddenly reading the Word of God and it's making sense because the Spirit of God is enlightening it. Jesus said, it's for your benefit that I go so that I can send you my Spirit and my Spirit can live in you, show you, teach you, be your helper, be your comfort, be your guide. He can take you into all things. And when Jesus said, follow me and I will make you, he always had his Spirit in mind. He always had his Spirit in mind at that point. He wasn't ever planning to do it without the Spirit of God. So he had that in mind. So in fact, if you've given your life to Jesus and you love Jesus, you're born of the Spirit. Therefore, you need to operate in the Spirit. And it may be scary, but it's laying our lives down and allowing him to get your intellect. Actually, for me, I'm not the brightest spark, so I'm quite happy to follow the Spirit. To be all honest, I don't need to worry about my intellect, and I don't need to. You can come into a meeting. We can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. What God wants to do, he will do. I'm just here. Like, Lord, like, it's your meeting. It's your meeting. I just want to love you, and I want to worship you this morning. What you want to do is what you want to do. Please, Lord, help me recognize it. Help me recognize it. Because then when I can see it, I can go. I can follow. I'm following. Then I'm following. And then when I'm following, you're going to make something. You're going to make something. Do you know there's times I've been leading a meeting. 3 or 4 words come. And then one person just says, like, who was it? I'm not going to say who it was. Somebody said something to me, shared. And I just, it's like, that's it. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's it. It's so exciting from that point. then I get excited. And this is the life of God, that we can move and follow the Spirit of God. We can learn things we would never know. We would never know what the Spirit wants to reveal to us. We don't have it in us. Like, if you're sitting there and you think, I've got enough knowledge, I've got enough understanding, I've been in church long enough, and I have a general idea how things work, poof, wow. Yeah. Well done. You know more than us. Do you know what I'm saying? We've got to strip off all of this stuff that gets in the way. Our own intellect, our own understanding. It's hindering. You nullify the power of God by your traditions, the way you think and the way you've built this thing up. I don't feel I need to say much more. I think we need to, do you know what? I'm going to open up to the elders if anybody wants to add anything or, but I really get the sense we need to pray for people to be filled with the Spirit. We need this thing broken out. And it's like, it's not drawing us, not drawing you to man, not to follow us. We want to follow Jesus. And we need to follow his Spirit.
I just want to read a scripture for you guys. Actually, Lyle mentioned it as he opened up. But I feel we actually need to see something here. It's from Luke 5. So this is the passage about wine and wineskins. And I really feel God is pressing this on us this morning. Lyle just did a brilliant job of opening up to us this journey that we're on. We're a word and spirit people. We're a word and spirit people. He also told them, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, He will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Church, we need to catch something here. The wine talking about God's presence, God's spirit, his kingdom breaking in. He can't do it with the old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins or new wineskins. No one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says the old is good. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. This isn't a mini preach. I just want to give you a couple of things that I really feel God just wants to impress from what you've shared. So the reason the old wineskins cannot hold new wine is because they become brittle, they become hard, and they lose their elasticity. And actually what happens as new wine ferments, and I don't know anything about wine, I don't enjoy drinking it even, but I just did a quick Google on this. As the new wine ferments, gases are created, and you actually see small bubbles rising. And actually, as it ferments, you'll see the fruit being thrown around. There's this process where gases are being released. And what happens with those gases is expansion. So if you're putting this new wine into old wineskin that is brittle and hard, the expansion in the gases when the new wine is being made will break the wineskin. Okay, this is what Jesus is teaching here. So the question here for us, church, this morning is, will we be brittle or will we be elastic? It's really a simple invitation that Jesus has for us this morning. Will we, and Lyle did a brilliant job of talking about what some of those brittle wineskins look like. It's the traditions of man. It's our intellect. It's our understanding. It's our mindsets, which nullify what God wants to do. Nullifies the word of God for now. So will we be resistant to the new wine because of our traditions, because of our understanding, because of our intellect, or will we lay them down and we will become an elastic people? That's spiritual language, by the way, right there. It's there in the Greek. If you look there in the Greek, that's what he's talking about. Wineskins that are elastic. Are you flexible enough, like Lyle has been describing so brilliantly, to move with the Spirit of God? Or will you get stuck and resist what God wants to do? And God's doing a new thing amongst us as a people. So we have a choice. We can either journey into what God has for us, and we don't know, because he blows this way, he blows that way. We can't predict, we can't script this thing. But will we be flexible enough to allow him to take us by the hand, to follow him? So that is the invitation, and that is a challenge for all of us this morning. I feel like actually we need to do some work in our hearts where we come and we say, we will lay down our intellect and our understanding and our old mindsets because God wants to do something new. And guys, you're either with us or you're not in this pursuit. You can either stand back and resist and be that brittle wineskin, or you can say, Lord, I don't really know what this looks like. Like Nicodemus, what's this born again thing? This Spirit of God thing, what is this? Well, let's just open our hearts to God and allow him to lead us. And maybe there's a response in that for us.
Should the worship team come up and let's... Danny, you could have just done the call.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing. Sorry, this was an important part. Yeah. See, who knows what God wants to do? Can I just read that last verse? Because that stuck out to me. So this is Jesus, this teaching. He says, no one after drinking old wine desires the new, for he says the old is good. Some of us this morning are saying the old is good. And actually, you've tasted the old and you think, oh, that's good enough. But it isn't.
So how are we going to do this? Let's worship together. And I just think if you sense the Holy Spirit move your heart, we're going to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. And listen, we all need filling with the Spirit of God. It's not a one-off event. We're not talking about baptism. We're talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. And if you feel that's you, then let's worship together and then just respond, and we're going to pray with you. Because we want to press in and we want to see the Spirit of God released, and we want to see our community groups transformed and us walking into this new wineskin. Amen.